podcast called?
Good question. Thanks for asking. I should actually start with it in
yeah.
the beginning.
Also, is there like a welcome to the
There's no
world?
There's no introduction.
This is the introduction.
But the podcast is called Elise Coffee Talks because I started to do it in cafes in Basel with this recorder with the background noises.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
And then COVID hit and then I did them on Zoom. I was really mm-hmm. resistant to that first, but I ended up doing it.
Yeah, and we record on Zoom mostly.
Yeah, because your partner is...
She's in Bali most of the time.
Ah, yeah.
Or like Zurich, I don't know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So welcome, Amber.
Thank you.
Thanks for agreeing to meet here at the Beast on a Thursday afternoon.
Yeah.
We were here last night, actually, for a storytelling evening. It happens once a month. I do also some promotion for the Beast at
awesome.
The same time.
We love you.
Yeah, that was fun, right?
Yeah, I had a good time.
Mm-hmm. A small group.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, I wasn't really prepared until like 2 hours before.
Oh, really?
Just kind of like... What I did, I went through my podcast, like through the episodes, because we always tell the story of the week mm-hmm. at the end of my... I can talk about mm-hmm. what I do yeah. there later, but like, so every 2 weeks I tell a story on my podcast. So I kind of went through the descriptions of the episodes to like find a good one, and then I was like, okay, I'll tell that one.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. And I found out the key for me with good stories is, compared to stand-up comedy, like you want to paint the picture, like you want to... explain circumstance mm-hmm. to people, which is different to stand-up comedy where you always try and like keep it short mm-hmm. and like get yeah. to the punchline faster.
Yeah.
How much can you let out, yeah. like leave out
yeah.
to maximize the laughs, whereas I feel like in stories take as much time as you can, like really painting a picture, and that's really enjoyable for people that are there to hear the story and not just punchlines.
Yeah. Yeah. Set the decor and
yeah,
how it feels.
I had a lot of fun decorating the story.
Yeah,
we had so it went better fun. Than I thought in the end.
You were not sure how it would
no.
be on stage?
No, just because I didn't feel super prepared, and I was yeah. like, also it was a work story. We're mm-hmm. gonna get to that later, mm-hmm. and I'm just sometimes I'm a bit tired of always telling work stories, mm-hmm. but that's where all the good stories
yeah.
happen.
So you do different things,
yeah.
but you
most of us do.
Most of us here, yeah. The ADHD people. Do you want to talk then? What's the work stories you mostly
yeah.
talk about?
So I mainly, I guess, mainly work as a strip performer, like a stripper or a burlesque artist. I do both. There is a difference. I can explain if you want. And I'm also a comedian. At the moment, I do more comedy performances because I've just... been a bit injured over the summer, as I can't and don't want to work as much, so I have more time for unpaid comedy shows.
Yeah,
but like that's the thing with comedy, like when I first started it was like, how can you people do all these shows without getting paid, because that's very different. Mm-hmm. Even as a newbie burlesque artist, I would usually at least get paid a little bit, whereas with comedy you have to invest so many unpaid hours on stage before mm-hmm. you start getting the paid gigs. But it's just different, like, in burlesque you have to invest a lot of hours, like, rehearsing and, like, making costumes and traveling and putting on makeup, so, like, you can... I think in the end it's a lot of mm. work you don't see that's not being paid either.
Yeah.
I just go on stage and I entertain people.
Yeah. And you sometimes sing as well?
Yeah, well, that's mostly part of the stand-up or when I'm hosting shows. Trying to make that more of a thing. I started taking singing classes again.
Yay!
Yeah, it's exciting because singing for me, like I get naked on stage and that was scary, and then I started doing comedy and that was scarier because it feels even more personal. And now I started singing on stage and that's so far the scariest because it feels like you're feeling so exposed
yeah.
and especially taking private singing lessons.
Yeah.
I sang in choirs for many years, like singing in front of one person. Obviously, they're not judging me, but like that's how it feels like,
yeah.
right? And you're like, here's my deepest, truest sense of self coming through my throat mm-hmm. into the room, taking up space, and it's so fucking scary.
Yeah.
And I can really like, for me, taking a singing class is like an hour-long conversation with my inner critic that tries to get involved every other minute. You're like, oh, but that didn't sound good, and that was wrong. And, like, yeah, it's very hard for me. That's why I'm doing it, because like deep down I know it's fun, but it's a lot of work.
That's how you started also the striptease work back then. That's what
as a form of self-improvement. Yeah, probably a little bit. I worked on myself quite intensely in my early 20s, and I went through a lot of therapy and a lot of shit and a lot of very painful moments, which made me like get out of the swamp that I'd been living in. But it was very confrontational. I had a group of people in Basel that did like a lot of self-awareness work, and we did like retreats and stuff like that, and really helped me. But it was super intense and like confrontative and shadow work. And so I had realized a lot of things about myself when I was early mid-20s. I went on this world trip because I realized I'm very scared of the world and I have to get out of my comfort zone and kind of out of my own head a little bit and just do stuff and feel things. And so I was in New Zealand, and I ended up feeling really frustrated again, because the first month of my world trip was like really exciting. I was in LA and Hawaii and Fiji, and everything was like challenging in a good way and sometimes scary. The worst boat trip I ever had, I almost told that story yesterday. That happened in that month. So it was a lot of like, it was like a roller coaster. And then I came to New Zealand and it was full of Germans, and suddenly I felt like
awful.
I'm German, I don't know if I said that, but I felt like, oh no, I feel boring again. Like, here I am on the other end of the world and I feel trapped in my own self again, and like, don't know, want to do something cool. And then it kind of popped up as a suggestion from someone who knows me very well. But I think he meant it more like jokingly. He was like, why don't you go work at a strip club if you feel so boring? And I was like, haha, fuck you. And then I couldn't sleep the entire night. And I started looking up strip clubs. And there was that feeling, you know, that like, I really want to try this. But it's so like, at worst, it's really dangerous. Like, I don't know anything about this world, or like the things I know are like, from my conservative upbringing, like, this is the deep, dark, dangerous, smutty world, and you don't want to like step into that because you're gonna get lost. But you know, like, I looked it up and I was like, maybe. And then I was too scared and tried a lot of, like, I tried applying for other jobs because I had 4 months in New Zealand and I felt like I need to like find some kind of job, like, just be somewhere for a while. I can't just like drive around. I did that for a while, and it just, some point you're like, I need to like just be somewhere. So I tried a lot of other jobs and I couldn't find anything. And then of course someone gave me like this they have like a weekly bulletin magazine with like job offers, and they're like, oh, look in there. And then the one strip club I had looked up in that town had put in an ad that said, are you looking for a career in this industry, but you're not sure if you have the skills? We can teach you, so you can earn while you learn. Apply now. And I was like, all right, universe, I get it. Like, I'm going to do this. It's probably going to be like a one-time thing. I'm probably going to do like one night, and then I can say then I did that as like a challenge, you know, like a dare. Well, 11 years later, I'm still doing it, and it's my dream job. I just did it. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. Like, I have to just do and feel and be in my body, and I feel in control. Like, it's just to make this clear, because a lot of people seem to think that this is a thing with sex workers. Like, I don't have sexual trauma. People seem to assume that when you choose a career in that field, that that's a thing. But I definitely struggled with like my sexuality for a while, and just as a stripper, I felt for the first time in like an erotic or sexually charged situation, I felt so in control, because I was like, okay, here are my boundaries, and you're gonna stick to that, and I'm gonna do whatever I feel like doing, like really listening to my impulses. Because you're standing in the room with someone, you're like, you don't have a choreography they show you. You just kind of have to like listen to whatever impulse you have and then just kind of wing it. And I think for me that was like such a good feeling. Like, okay, I can trust my own body, I can trust my own intuition, my impulses, my sense of what to do, what to say. And I have to trust it, and also like I have to fully commit to whatever pops up. Because if I hesitate, it's gonna look hella awkward, mm-hmm. and then you can't make a sale. So mm-hmm. just being like, yeah, I got this.
Did you follow, so it's very intuitive, that's yeah, what you're saying.
Yeah, for me, I think that's one of the reasons I love stripping is because, well, in the good clubs, I can really listen to my gut and I go wherever I feel like this is where I feel good, this is where there's flow, this is what I want to do. Like, I'm so tuned into myself. Because it's a sales job. Like, it's not... Mm. The dancing is a very small part of it. It's one part that I enjoy a lot, but it's not... It's like tuning into people, I think. And for that, you need to be very connected to whatever you're feeling and whatever you feel like is the right thing to do or say in that moment. Mm-hmm. And that's usually the way to go. So I feel like I'm listening to my body a lot and to how I feel, how I sit. There's a reason, like, most strippers believe in astrology. Because I think we're so used to like sensing energies, mm-hmm. or like figuring out how does the room feel tonight, like what kind of vibe is needed, do I have to be the nice girl, do I have to be the bad bitch right now, like what's the right vibe for this situation, how do I click into what's happening right now. I think that's where like very used, like sensing out the vibes or the energy.
Yeah,
and we have to, like, for safety reasons as well. Like, if you have a bad feeling, you have to walk away because you never know who's going to try something funny. Like, I think I'm lucky to say I've never had, like, any super dangerous situations. But, like, obviously I've had situations that were super uncomfortable and not great. Like, it's... I think in most jobs you have that. I think it's just because it's so sexually charged, it has, like, a different... connotation in my business, what uncomfortable or dangerous means.
Yeah.
Sorry, like dove right
into
that.
Yeah, it's great. You know. I have so many questions because yeah. I just watched your TED talk also earlier, and so I kind of mix everything now, and I want to know also for myself, you know, more details.
Yeah.
Last time on, so to stay with the job more.
Yeah.
Last time on stage you said when you go to a strip club you don't know if you're going to get paid or not.
Yes.
You don't know how much you're going to make.
Yeah, this is a good point to bring up because yeah. I feel like this is a point that where most people lack education because it depends a bit on the strip club. Like there's different systems. There's systems where the club pays you like a small fee, like a base. I wouldn't call it like salary, but because it's not enough for that. And then you just kind of get commission on like drink sales you make. So like this is the clubs in Zurich that I worked at and I stopped working there because you get paid like, what is it, like 120 francs per night for like 8 hours. So it's like the low minimum. Yeah. And then your job is it to kind of sell, it's mostly champagne bottles to people who come in. And then you get about 10 to 20% commission off that. So it's not a lot. Like, the bottles cost 500 francs and upwards. But, like, it means you have to, like, sell, like, 3-4 bottles per night to make that happen. And what does it mean to sell a bottle? Like, there's a guy who comes in and you're like, hi, how are you doing? Do you want some company? And if they say yes, then you're like, well, if you want to, like, hang out with me, you can... order a bottle of champagne for both of us. And then you'll have a client who's like, oh yeah, I'll buy you a drink. And then like some people don't want to buy a bottle and then buy you a glass of champagne and you get 5 francs for that. Like that's the reality of it. But like generally I think the crowd that goes to these clubs knows that this is kind of the deal you get for like company. And then they buy you a bottle, but then you'll have a client who will be like, oh, this is champagne is all for you, I don't drink champagne. And then you have to finish that bottle if you want to sell another one. So you're an alcoholic, and that's why I don't work in Zurich anymore, because that's kind of how the clubs work. People don't really come for shows or, like, private dances. And if you sell a private dance, the club still gets the bigger cut of that. Mm-hmm. So, like, you're really, like, working off, like, champagne commissions. Maybe people tip you, but it's a lot of alcohol and a lot of women there, and that's sad because it's kind of, like... plays into the cliche, like a lot of women there do drugs to just kind of like deal with it.
And
most clubs that work like that, you have to work 6 days a week. And I was never willing or able to do that because I was like, guys, I have like a life and I'm a performance artist, so I can't sit here and get drunk 6 days a week. But that's how the club in Zurich work. And there's one club in Basel. There's one strip club in Basel. And I think that's how it works there too. That's why I don't work there. And then there's other clubs where you don't get like a base fee. Mm-hmm. And you get a bigger cut of like lap dances. Like in Europe, that's between the percentage you get of a private dance in Europe is between 30 and 80%. It really varies on the, like the club. Like there's a club I like in Prague. I think I'm not allowed to say this, but I don't care. Where I get 50% of everything I make. And that does sound like the club gets a lot, but it's still one of the better deals you get in Europe. Now, in Switzerland, there's some table dance clubs I work at where I get a bit, quite a lot more, like private dance, like 70 francs, and I get 60 of that. But you don't sell that many because it doesn't get busy, and that's like that's my issue I have with Switzerland, where like you could make money, but Swiss people don't really go to the strip club. Maybe they haven't listened to my TikTok yet, but it's just sadly not like a huge thing of Swiss culture, of Swiss nightlife. People still feel like, ooh, but I'm married, or like, and like it's not about, it's about watching shows and being entertained and like having an adventure, but or like sharing just a bit of connection with someone. But I feel like in Switzerland a lot of people have very like fuzzy idea of what it is, and it's a bit scary and a bit muddy and a bit smutty, and they're like, oh, this is not for me. And so I'd say that in Switzerland it's hard to like, I make the same amount of money in Eastern Europe that I make in Switzerland, and like, and people like often when I work in Prague, they're like, why do you work here when you're like from Switzerland? I'm like, well, on a good night, I make more money in Prague than in Switzerland. Like it varies a little bit.
You know? Berlin?
Same, even worse. Because in Berlin I have a club that's all right, but they always hire too many girls. And so you have a lot of competition. And when it doesn't get busy, and you're not fast enough to like grab the clients. I think at the moment I'm a bit, that's one of the reasons I told you I felt a bit burned out this summer, because I think as I'm getting older, I'm less willing to compromise on my energy and time. I'm like, I'm tired of having to drive 1.5 hours to work in a table dance club in Switzerland that feels nice. And I'm also tired of having to travel all the time, like away from my friends, from my cat, from my workout routine. Like I've now have like an injury coming from severe overuse over the years of my shoulders, because when you're traveling, you can't just go to the gym. Like it's just, it's very hard to keep up healthy habits and like eating and workout when you're always traveling. So at the moment I feel a bit like tired of all that. So I'll probably travel again, but less frequently than I used to. Like in the last 4 years it's been like Prague and or Berlin every other month, like a week or two, because I could never go longer because I have like stuff going on here. That's the thing when you have ambition and like other creative energies that want to be channeled. Like I could go, like sometimes I could go like for 5 days because there was like a burlesque show I had to produce, so I could go away after that but be back in time to teach another thing. And so I just like go there and work every night, which was awesome. Like it was always so energizing and like recharging in like an emotional way, because in a huge club like in Prague you meet the coolest people, you get the craziest stories. People, because you have a lot of tourists that walk in from all over the world, they're very open-minded, they're very here for an adventure, whereas Swiss countryside, it's just regular old Sebastian, you know, coming from his day at the farm, and he just wanted to chat, and they're nice, but it's always kind of like the same stories, and like, I have some cool clients in Switzerland, but most, like, on average, I feel like I have to compromise more. I have to play nice more than I want to. I can't listen to my intuition as much as I'd like to in Switzerland. I feel like it's harder to be me.
So I'll ask you the question later, but why? Because they they're more reserved?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, Swiss people are much more reserved.
So you have to also be more
Yeah,
reserved.
And you don't really get, like, the same kind of crowd. Like, you don't get tourists.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get, like, that millionaire from Canada who has, like, a really cool life story and, like, I'm actually interested in listening to it, whereas I'm like, I wouldn't hang out with regular old Sebastian if he wouldn't pay me. And
yes,
so, like,
okay.
That's why I can't work, like, I personally find it hard to work too often because I need to be actually interested in what people tell me. Mm. Like, I can only fake it so much. I try and be real, and I'm at a point in my life where it's very hard for me not to be real.
Yeah.
So it costs me more energy, and like driving home for like an hour at 4 a.m. Like, it's just, it's quite exhausting.
A friend of mine was saying she did it for a few months,
mm-hmm.
And she said talking to people was actually more exhausting
mm-hmm.
than dancing or...
Oh yeah, 80% of stripping is talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it.
Like, you don't find it exhausting if it's interesting.
Yeah, if I have a good vibe with mm-hmm. someone, I'm like, yeah, let's dive deep. Mm-hmm. Like, last time I worked in Berlin, it was like two months ago, I fell in love with my client for a night, and he with me, because we just had the deepest conversation, but it was also because I know, like, I knew he was going to move away for 3 years, and we were like, okay, this is our last night together, and we've only, like, met twice before, but we really clicked, and I feel like it just felt a bit more like the adventure. It's, like, easier to sell a fantasy if it feels the same for you, and... Like, people in Switzerland, they're more reserved, they're more, like, careful with, like, spending. And I also have to say that I meet a lot of people in Switzerland that are very entitled and very likely to try and cross my boundaries. Because there is a lot of brothels and, like, contact bars in Switzerland. So people are often like, well, but I have the money. Like, if I pay you more, why can't I fuck you? And I feel like it's hard to, like... The other day I managed, I had this regular who'd never take me for a private dance. He would only ever buy champagne and talk because he was very used to like going to brothels. But now he's like started to come to my table dance bar. And for 1.5 years, I had this constant discussion with him because he was always like, but I will never pay you for a private dance. What would I get out of it? And I'm like, it's not about you sticking anything into anything. Like, it's... You don't go on a roller coaster because you want to go from A to B. You go for the ride. And for me, that's like a private dance. I'm like, it's about sharing a really exciting moment of like deeper intimacy and connection and like making you smile and showing you some naughty bits. And after 1.5 years, I feel like he finally got it. I was kind of reciting my TED talk to him. I was like, this is what it's about. And he was like, all right, let's go. And he got it. It was so nice to see how it had clicked. But I feel like, especially in Switzerland, there's a lot of people... Like, it's a mentality thing, yeah. Like, obviously, you can't, like, be too... Oh, all the Brits are like that, and all the yeah. French people are like that. But I do feel like people from England or, like, Great Britain, they're like, yeah, I'll get a lap dance or two when I see them. And Germans are usually quite hesitant, but then they're like, okay, I need to have an adventure. And Swiss people, they're like, I need to have an adventure, and then they buy you a drink, and then that's it. So, yeah, I think it's a bit of a mentality issue.
What about the French?
Yeah, but him can be him. Like, if you speak French, and I speak enough French to sell a lap dance. Yeah, I do okay with the French, because in my club, I'm one of the few girls that speaks French. So they're just usually happy that I do too, so I can talk to them. Yeah, they're okay.
It's interesting.
Yeah, Italian people often ask for sex because they're used from the clubs they have in Italy. So that's why I don't want to work in Italy, because there it's quite mixed, you know. It may look like a strip club, and then there's like more. So I can't even blame them. That's why, like, again, I don't want to be racist with any of these, but like there's tendencies for sure. But yeah, again, like that's why I don't know if I'll make money, because if you don't make sales, or if there's no clients... You walk out with nothing. Or like in some clubs, I forgot to mention that, not that much in Europe, more like in the UK or New Zealand where I've worked, or Australia, you have to pay a house fee. In the US as well, so you have to pay like $100 just to work a stripper. So if you don't make money, you lose money.
Yeah.
And people just don't know that. They come in and they're like, will stare at you dance without tipping, because they're like, well, you're getting paid anyway, why should I give you money?
Yeah.
Like, that's, you're the one who pays me. Or doesn't.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick at the strip club.
Yeah. tip.
Yes. Also not a Swiss quality. People are not used to tipping.
Yeah.
I once did a show, like a pole dancing show at a bar in Basel, and then after my set, people, like this guy comes to me, he's like, oh my god, it was amazing. I really wanted to tip you, but I didn't want to be disrespectful. Mm. And I was like, what the fuck, like, which part of you handing me money is the disrespectful part? How? But I think that's something that like goes quite deep in some people's minds, where they're like, ooh, like paying a woman because she's performing something sensual or sexual is disrespectful. I'm like, no, it's my job. It's disrespectful not to tip. Mm. Trying really hard to change that in people's minds.
With TED Talks.
Yeah, or one comedy bit at a time. Yes.
Okay, so I have... I just want to talk more about this work. You know, yeah, you go there and you have to perform. You know, when I go to my day jobs, I don't have to perform at all.
Yeah, if you're in a bad mood, you can't make money as a stripper.
Yeah.
Unless you attract a very, very, very specific type of client that feels bad for you. But that's kind of, that's quite a niche kink. Like, it's quite a gamble to do that. But yeah. But it's something that's very hard because...
When you're
not having a good day,
and
you walk out on the floor and start hustling and like talking to people, like, hi, how are you? Are you interested in seeing my booty up close tonight? And then you get rejected, right?
Yeah.
For whatever reason, like maybe you weren't 100% convinced of what you said, and I can tell. Sometimes I open my mouth and like I want to punch myself in the face because I'm like, that sounds so fake, whatever I'm saying, because I'm just not feeling it. Or maybe I don't feel like super sexy, and then someone rejects you, and then so you lose confidence, right? And then you have to like keep working with that.
Yeah.
So it's even harder as they get rejected again and again and again. Like we've all cried in the backstage. Like, and then you change your outfit and you like shake it all off. Like I sometimes like physically shake myself as I walk away from someone. It helps.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's really hard, like when you lose your confidence that much, to like kind of pick it back up.
Yeah.
So it really helps who you're working with. Like I love strippers. Like the pep talks they've given me backstage, like my girlfriends, amazing. But it also works in the other way around, right? So like you're walking out on the floor, you just started working, and someone comes up to you, they're like, you, get naked for me, here's my money. It's the best thing that can happen to you. It rarely happens. People always assume that it happens, but you usually have to be the active part in the sale. And so like you made your first sale and it gives you such a boost, and then you have that, you know, it gives you that glow, so you like you keep hustling and it keeps happening, and so it just kind of grows into that direction. But I think one thing that I like about stripping is because it forces me to put on a smile. It's kind of like teaching as well, like whatever tragedy you're going through, you kind of have to put it aside. You know, there's like, I don't know if you know about this, like there's like exercises when you're feeling down to like force your body to smile, because it'll trick your mind into thinking you're happy. And I don't think like it works like on a substantial level. I think it works on a superficial level, but it definitely has worked for me at work, when I just have to kind of put it all aside and focus on smiling and doing my best, and then you'll attract good stuff, and you try and find good vibes and try and find the stuff that validates how you feel. And then when you find someone good, you can also like drop it and be like, actually I feel shitty today, because you like maybe have a good connection and they're open to that. But it's a mindset thing. Like I have rituals I do. Like I'm quite superstitious, which I think is a performance artist thing, because we'd rather believe the reason we performed well is the outfit and not our skill. I think it's like actually just imposter syndrome, and we're like, oh, I did really well today. Well, it can't be because I'm good. It must be because I ate this specific snack and I'm wearing my red underwear today, right?
And so I wore a dress last
night. But if I don't masturbate before work, I'm going to have a shitty shift. I promise you that.
That's the ritual?
Yes.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's be like, I don't want to go into it too much, because I think it's something I don't want people to consume. That's exactly why I'm doing it. Because I'm like, this part of my sexuality is just for me. This is mine. You don't get to have it. That's why I don't do porn, because there's like a part of my sex life that I just don't want to commercialize.
Yeah.
I do have an OnlyFans, but yeah, I certain things I'm like, nah, that's just for me. I keep my orgasms for myself. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thanks for sharing. Maybe a ritual after the club to
showering.
Shake it off. Yeah, shower.
Yeah, like, I mean, it sounds stupid. Yeah. No, like, people like, of course you shower, but like sometimes you're really tired and you're like, should I?
Yeah.
But like energetically, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never in 11 years... Have I? No. I can't remember any, like even also after gigs.
Yeah.
Just showering. Yeah.
And you say to yourself, I release anything that's not mine, or that
I don't even do it consciously, but just like energetically, it feels like I'm washing off all the energies, like people that touched me. Like I've worked in clubs where people get to touch you, not everywhere, but still.
Yeah.
So you're just kind of like washing off. And yeah, as I said earlier, sometimes when I have like an icky interaction, and I've carried this into my everyday life, I noticed the other day, physically shaking myself like a wet dog.
Yeah,
game changer, really. Yeah. Like someone, if you have like an interaction, like the other day I was at a comedy show and this guy like talked to me. I didn't know him and he asked me if I'm nervous and like he touched my shoulder and it just made me uncomfortable. I was like, who do you think you are? So I just kind of like shook myself and I don't care if they see it because like, it's okay if they see that this was it made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But yeah, physically shaking things off. But yeah, I think other than that. Like, some rituals change. Like, there was a while where I always had to listen to a very specific song when driving or going to work.
Mm-hmm. To motivate yourself.
Yes, but to a point where it, like, was superstition. It was like, if I don't listen to that song, it has to be that specific song. But I got over that.
Thanks for sharing all of that. Maybe let's go towards the other creative things you do.